Okay, so we are holding on Bays Umud Bays, the last two words. So we learned in the Mishnah that if a Mavui is taller than 20 Amos, the Koda has to be placed below 20 Amos. It can't be above 20 Amos. We're going to discuss that today in the Gemara. And it can't be wider than 10 Amos. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees only about the height. In a Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda also disagrees about the maximum width. We said, where are we learning that from? We tried to say that the Chachamim are learning it from the door of the Heichal, which was 20 by 10, whereas Rabbi Yehuda at first we said was learning it from the door of the Ulam, which was 20, which was 40 Amos tall. We said in the end that doesn't work, because Rabbi Yehuda allows it to be even taller than that. And we said in the end, Rabbi Yehuda learns it from the doors of king's palaces. As we said yesterday, the door of Ahasuerus's palace is called a Pesach in the Torah, of Pesach, Neuchach Pesach HaBoyis. Actually, the door of Shlomo HaMelech's palace is also, or Chavam's palace, whatever, is also called a Pesach in the Pesach in Melachim. So therefore, so Rabbi Yehuda is basing himself on that. Okay, so we were asking, what about the Rabbanon? If they're learning from the Pischa Shel Heichel, then why doesn't it have to be like exactly like the door of the Heichel? So we asked why it's not good, why it wouldn't require doors, like the Heichel had doors. And the answer is, even by the Heichel, the doors weren't necessary to make it into a doorway. They were meant for privacy, so that people aren't looking into what's in the Heichel, especially at night when the doors are closed. We said, what about the fact that the Mishnah says that if it's wider than 10 amos, it's okay if it has a tzuras pesach, whereas the Heichel, of course, had a tzuras pesach, and it still was 10 amos wide. And the answer is, Rav, in fact, holds that his version of the Mishnah is, in fact, that it's no good even if it has a tzuras pesach, if it's wider than 10 amos. So we're continuing on that topic, then, of seeing, why is it that the various features of the door of the Heichel are not reflected in the dinim of Mavui? So Elameata, by this logic, if you're telling me that the Chachamim are learning from the door of the Heichel, Loitahani le Amaltera, then we should say that an Amaltera is not effective in allowing the Koda to be higher than 20 Amos. We're going to see later, further down on the Amud, we'll discuss what an Amaltera is. But the point is, for right now, the Heichel Amaltera Havile, after all, the Heichel had an Amaltera, as we're going to quote in a second from the Mishnah in Midas, the Afilo Hochi Esru Amahu de Gavoya, and nevertheless, it was limited to 20 Amos. In other words, again, the question is that if Amalteras are effective, that as we're going to see later, that they are effective when it comes to a Mavui, then when it comes to the Heichel, so they didn't have to have the plans that were given Min HaShemayim, didn't have to be that it's limited to 20 Amos, which therefore is going to lead us to say that a Mavui also was limited to 20 Amos. It could have been taller because the Amalteros are going to draw attention to the top of the door anyway. The Tanan, as we learn in a Mishnah, so what are Amalteros? We say in the Mishnah in Midas, Chomish Amalteros Shamila Hoyu Agabav, on top of the, above the door of the Heichel, or actually the Mishnah is actually there talking about the Ulam, so we're going to talk in a second, are we talking about the Heichel or are we talking about the Ulam, but over the door, there were five Amalteros, which are large beams, large carved beams, Shalmila, or Milas, whatever, which is, of Mila, which is oak, or which is, Rashi says, Mila is eighth shagdalim by Milim, is a tree on which Milim, which are a kind of growths that you get from the tannin, which is used in ink making, that they grow on such a kind of tree, so like oak trees. Anyway, so they had five beams of Mila, of oak, Hoyu Agabav, were above the door of the Heichel, Zula Maila Mizuva, Zula Maila Mizuva, one above the other. Yeah, the lowest one was the door itself, we said, was 20 Amos wide. So the door of the Ulam, actually, we're going to talk in a second, that this Mishnah seems to be referring to the Ulam, not to the Heichel, but in the door of the Ulam was 20 Amos wide, so the bottom one was 22 Amos wide, then the one above it was 24, 26, 28, 30. You don't have on that diagram on that picture over there. They don't actually show it, but in pictures of the Bais Mikdash that you can find in various books, you can see it depicted. Anyway, no, pastors, they didn't show it over here, just as they didn't show many details. Okay, anyway, the point is, again, the door had a Malteros, and yet we see it was limited to 20 Amos. So why is it by a Mavu? You can have a Malteros, and the Koda can be higher than 20 Amos. It's like Marcus, what kind of a question is that? Maybe that Mishnah about the Amal Trois is actually referring to the door of the Ulam. And we said the Chachamim aren't learning from the door of the Ulam because they said either because they said the Ulam and the Heichal have different Kedushas and therefore different levels of Kedushas. So you can't call the door of the Ulam, the door of the Oyel Moed, the Pesach Oyel Moed. We said because of that, the Chachamim aren't that. So that's the thing. Also, because even though there's a pasuk that mentions the door of the Ulam with the word Pesach, it's not actually one pasuk. It's a hybrid of two different pesukim. And it says over there, it doesn't say Pesach Ulam. It says Pesach Ulam Abayis, which means that Pesach really goes more on the Bayis and the Heichal itself. Anyway, the point is, so maybe that Mishnah is talking about the Ulam. And then in that case, there's no question because the door of the Heichal didn't necessarily have a Maltrois. Now, the Dilma over here in the Gemara, many Rishonim explain, is not actually, usually the word Dilma means perhaps, but over here it's not a perhaps. It's very clear from the Mishnah and Midas over there that it is referring to the door of the Olam. So therefore, so in this and in the next line also, where the Gemara is going to use, again, the word Dilma, Rishonim say that sometimes the Gemara does use the word Dilma in the sense of, even though it's not something contingent, it's not something questionable, it's something definite, and still the Gemara will use the word Dilma for it, just in the course of the discussion. So the question is back, behind my question. Okay, but what kind of a question is that, that you're saying that it was referring to the Ulam? Dilma Kitania Dilma Tavnis Heichel Kitavnis Ulam. Maybe the front of the Heichel was like the front of the Ulam in that sense. And again, obviously, if it's a Dilma, if it's a perhaps that it was and perhaps not, we can't very well use that as a question on Rav. But again, these same Rishonim say that Dilma over here means can sometimes in rare places in the Gemara can mean definitively. So definitely the Gemara is assuming that had the Kabbalah that in fact the front of the Heichal looked like the front of the Ulam and it also had Amal Trois above it. So if it has Amal Trois, it should have been then we see that it shouldn't have to be limited to 20. And yet we see that it was. So why did Rab Ila say in the name of Rab that the coda is fine if it's four tefachim wide, alpha pisha in a bria, even though it's not strong. Later on in our perek, we're going to be talking about that the coda, besides that it has to span the full width of the mavoi, of course. It also has a certain width that it has to have. It has to be wide enough. It has to be wide enough and strong enough that you could put a row of bricks on it. Because as we'll learn in the perek later, then it makes it look like it's there more on a permanent basis. Also, the Gemara is going to mention later that if it's too thin, the wind will blow it away. Anyway, the point is that Rav tells us that that's only if the Koda is between 1 and 4 tefachim wide. But if the Koda is 4 tefachim wide, then it doesn't need to be that strong. Then it doesn't have to be strong enough to be able to put a row of bricks on it. That's one din. And a reason behind that is because if it's 4 tefachim wide, then already we can say a concept that we're going to discuss later in the parak called pitikra yodad v'soisim, that the edge of the beam, the edge of the kota, comes down virtually and closes up the fourth wall. So therefore, you have a mechitza on the fourth wall. So you can't really say so. Only well, the mavi by definition, the mavi sosim has three walls already, right? Oh, good morning, Avraham Moshe. I didn't realize good morning, Earl. So the mavui, we're talking about a mavui sosum over here. Again, if we're talking about a mavui mefulosh, if we're talking about a mavui that's open from one end to the other, both ends are open, then you're going to need something more than a lechi or koda at one end. Then you're going to need a source of pesach at one end. We're going to be discussing that later. You're going to need a lechi koda at one end, and then a source of pesach at the other, right? So we're not getting into that right now. The point is that on the fourth side, one reason why the coda works is based on the principle of pitikra yod v'soisim. It's considered a mechitza, which we're going to be discussing that later on in our perek. The point is that if the kota is 4 tefachim wide, then it can be considered a tikra, it can be considered a wall, therefore, a ceiling, and therefore the edge of the ceiling can become a virtual wall, as opposed to if it's only between 1 and 4 tefachim wide, you can't say that. Then you have to have, then the mechanism of how it works is different, and then it has to be strong enough to be able to hold a row of bricks, as we'll learn later in the parak. So that's first of all, that's one din that Rav says. That's not really so relevant to the discussion we're having now. We're just mentioning it because Rav said that together with another din, which is relevant to our sugya. He says, "Ve'im yesh la maltera, if the kota that's stretching across the top of the mavui has an amaltera, has these carvings or decorations or whatever, as we're going to see later on in the Amud, what an amaltera is, afilu gvoya yosim esramama, then even if it's higher than 20 amos, ain't it tzarech lamait, he doesn't have to reduce the height of it." So Rav is actually saying that an amaltera is good enough, and now that allows it to be higher than 20. But if Rav is saying that the Chachamim are learning from the door of the Heichel, we established that the door of the Heichel has amalteras over it, has these carved beams above it. And we said, again, the Mishnah in Midas, on the face of it, is saying that only the door of the Olam had it, but the Gemara is saying that the door of the Heichel had it as well. So if you were to look at the outside of the Beis Hamikdash, you see the Ulam in front of you, you'd have these 5 beams, progressively longer beams, above the door. And then if you walked into the Ulam, into the foyer of the Beis Hamikdash, and you looked up, you would see something similar above the door of the Heichel. Anyway, the point is, so we see that even though it had a maltrois, it was still limited to 20 amos tall. They didn't make the doorway also 40 amos tall like the door of the ulam. So you see that the limit of 20 applies even if there are maltrois. So why is Rav saying that it doesn't? And the answer is Amar Rav Yosef, amaltera masnisi. So Rabbi Yosef says, you're thinking that Rav said both of these statements about the kota being 4 tefachim wide and about it having an amaltera. Actually, no. That Rav only said that first din about if the kota is 4 tefachim wide, then it can be a weak one. He never said the thing about it being higher than 20 amos. Masnisihi, that one is actually a braisa. And man katoni lo. And who taught that braisa? After all, it's not necessarily a reliable braisa. As we know, all over in Shas, sometimes you have braisas where the wording of them is wrong, or there's something missing in them, or whatever. And we say that the Gemara even gives us a rule in Chulin that if the braisa was not taught in the yeshiva of Reb Chiya and Reb Oshia, then don't even bother bringing it into the Beis Medrash and bringing questions from it, because it's not necessarily an accurate braisa. Good morning, Ellie. Reb Chiya and Reb Oshia are actually kind of transitional generation. They're from the first generation of the Amoraim. They're also sometimes considered like the end of the Tanoim. Whatever, the point is they compiled the Tesefta, they compiled collections of Brises and the Tesefta, which is a collection of Brises, and so the Tesefta is printed in the back of standard Gemaras, yeah. But if a Braisa comes from there, then we know it's reliable. Other than that, we don't know that it's reliable. Karna was also Masada Braisa, right. But okay, so you have Levi was also Masada Braisa, yeah. But the Gemara sometimes mentions this concept in one place in Chulin. Rashi mentions it here and there throughout Shas, quoting that Gemara, that if it's not, that sometimes you have unreliable Braisa. So over here, we have a Braisa that says that an Amaltera, that a fancy beam, or something that draws the eye, as the Gemara is going to say later, is enough that it's okay even above 20 Amos. Rav didn't say that, it's in a braisa, but the braisa itself is not necessarily reliable, so you can't use it as a contradiction to what Rav himself is saying. Amar Abaya, but Abaya says no, it is in fact a reliable braisa. We see that Rav Choma, it says on the side, of the son of Rav Baravur taught this braisa, so we know who taught it, and we know that he's a reliable source. Abaye and Rava started the process of gathering together the material that we have as the Gemara and analyzing it and putting it into some kind of Seder. Also the discussions of the Amoraim, of course, yeah. Okay. Anyway, so therefore, but to have a malter masnisa, so Abaye says in that case you have a problem. Fine. The original assumption of the Makshan was that this statement about the amaltera comes from Rav, and the question is then that Rav is contradicting himself because first he's saying that the Chachamim are learning from the door of the Heichel about the rules of the Mavri. And then they're saying that, and then meanwhile, Rav is saying that an amaltera is good enough to allow it above 20 amos, even though the door of the Heichel was 20 amos and had an amaltera. But now that we're saying, so okay, you're saying that it's not part of Rav's statement, that's a braisa. Fine, so it's a braisa. So it's a braisa. So now, okay, you still have a problem though. Rav can't contradict the Braisa. Now, okay, in some places the Gemara does say that Rav is a Tana and he can argue with Braisa, but with Braisa, the Gemara prefers not to use that answer unless it really has to. I even once saw an explanation, actually, I don't remember from who, that when we say Rav Tana Hu Polig, it's only on Brises that were actually composed and formulated in the generation of Rav, so then he can argue with them. Over here, the Gemara may be taking the view that this Brisa actually, even though we have it from Rav Chama Breid Rav Baravua, who's in the middle of the Amoraim, it actually goes back to a much earlier generation, long before Rav, and therefore that Rav might not have the ability to argue against it. Anyway, regardless, the point is that so how is Rav arguing on this Brisa? The answer is Amalach Rav. Rav will answer you. Listen, Dala Namehacha. Okay, listen, even if you delete me out of you, in other words, let's say I hadn't said anything. So suppose I had never said anything about the Chachamim. I'd never said anything about the Chachamim learning from the Ulam. I'd never said anything about an Amaltera. Even if that, Masnaisa Mila Kashin Hadadi, wouldn't you have a contradiction between the Brises themselves? Because we had a Brisa before that said, Mavishu Gavaya Lamaila Ma'esrim Amma. That a mavri which is higher than 20 amos being the height of the heichel, then you have to lower the korah to make it kosher. So on the one hand you have that. On the other hand you have this braisa that says that if it has an amaltera it can be above 20. So forget about what I'm saying. Just the fact that you have those two braises contradict each other. So what would be the answer? Obviously, the answer is it's a machlokes tanoim. So you have one braisa that says that 20 amos is the absolute limit, amalterois or not. And the other one says that if you have amalterois, it can be higher than 20. So then, in that case, good. Ladidi nami tanoihi. So fine, according to me also. Now let's bring back in my statement, which I said that abanan are in fact learning from the heichel, but an amaltera doesn't help. Okay, so then in that case, I'm going like the Tana of the first Brisa. You're finding me a Brisa that says an Amaltera helps to allow it to be above 20. Okay, I don't have to hold like that Brisa. I'm entitled to hold like the first Brisa. However, Rab Nachman Yitzchak says no. As a matter of fact, Beloy Rav Masnaisa Hadodi Leikashon. No, as a matter of fact, if it hadn't been for Rav's statement, we would not say that there's a contradiction between the Brises. Both Brises. Because the first Braisa, when it says 20 amos, Yosef Pischa, that can't be higher than 20 amos, which that would be Yosef Pischa Shal Heichel, because Rav Nachman Yitzchak says that's not what the Braisa means, that we're actually learning from the Heichel. L'rabbonon koda time of my mishum hakeira. Rather, what it is like this. The Rabbonon hold, what is the mechanism of the koda? How does it work? So again, we're going to be discussing later on in the perek, in a few places, the question of the mechanism. How does a koda on that fourth side of the mavri cause it that now you're allowed to carry in that mavri? Well, once you make a shittuf mavoyas as well. Is it that it's mishum heker, that it makes a visible distinction between the area of the mavri and the area of Rosh Hasharabim? So this way you won't come to carry from the Mavri into Rosh Hasharabim or vice versa. Or is it that it's Mishum Mechitza, that it's considered in a certain sense like a fourth wall, like we said before about Pitikra Yored Besosim. Actually, we're going to discuss later on in the Perek, we have two different things. There's good achis that you consider you take a wall and pull it down, so to speak, to create a fourth wall, and then you have pitik riyad besosim. We're going to discuss later on, are those the same thing or are those two different dinim? But anyway, the point is that Rabbanan of our Mishnah hold that the reason why the Koda works is based on the concept of heker. that people should look at it and realize that this way, so Rashi says this way, they won't confuse the Mavui with the Rishus Rabim and think that just like you're allowed to carry in the Mavui, you're allowed to carry in Rishus Rabim. Like this, the Koda serves as a hecker to remind them not to. Rabbeinu Yohanan on the Rif puts it a little differently. He says, the vote is this way, you won't come to carry between the Mavui and Rishus Rabim, given that the Mavui is open to Rishus Rabim. Anyway, the point is that so the whole reason the Chacham says is because of Heker. So therefore, that's why it can't be above 20 Amos. Because above 20 Amos, like we say by a Sukkah and like we say by a Ner Chanukah, nobody's going to notice it. So then in that case, that explains why an Amaltra works. Because an Amaltra already is something that catches the eye, as we're going to discuss soon, what an Amaltra is. And therefore, it's okay even above 20 Amos. So v'hai dekatoni yosim pischa shel heichel simana ba'alma. So why does the first braisa mention the door of the heichel? It's just to use it as a simon. We're not actually, like Rav said, learning from it that the maximum height is 20, because then we have the question why, according to Rav, why would an amaltra work or not? No, we're just using the 20 amas of the heichel's height, of the height of the heichel's door's height as a simon. Simon to remind you, so you don't forget this concept of 20 amos. But really, we're not learning it. We're not learning it from that. We're just doing, practically speaking, above 20 amos, you're not going to notice it. And therefore, an amaltra helps that you will notice it. So if so, then that reconciles the two braises, and it kind of leaves Rav out in the cold. Okay, so Rav is actually saying you are learning it from the door of the heichel. According to that, then an amaltra should help. Okay, actually no. So it doesn't really. So fine. So if we learn the brises that way, then okay, we can also make it fit with what Rav is saying. Actually, 20 amos is the maximum. However, an amaltra will help to allow the limit to be above 20. Rav had said that we're actually learning from the door of the heichel. So okay. So the question. So it does work. Yeah. Okay.
According to
Rav, maybe it doesn't work. Because again, the door of the Heichel had an Amaltra, or had multiple Amaltras, whatever, and still it was limited to 20. Whereas we're saying now that that Amaltra makes it able to raise the limit above 20. According to Rav, it would seem that wouldn't work. But okay, fine. But the Braises, at least we can reconcile. Okay, so the question is, Rav Nachman Yitzchok Hanicha Ilay Svira LeHod Rabba. Now let's analyze what Rav Nachman Yitzchok just said. That the reason for the Koda is because of Heker, and therefore, if you have an Amaltra, then it helps. So if Rav Nachman Yitzchok doesn't agree with what Rabba says in connection with Sukkah, then we understand very well what's going on over here. Then everything works out. It works out well if he doesn't hold of Rabba's reason, which by Sukkah, why it is that a Sukkah is also limited to 20 Amos, which we're going to quote in a second. Ela isvir lehod Rabba. But if we were to say that Rav Nachman Yitzchok agrees with Rabba's reason, about the maximum height of a Sukkah, which the Omer Rabba, namely, Rabba says at the beginning of Masech the Sukkah, now when the Mishnah says over there that the Chachamim say a Sukkah is limited to 20 Amos tall, and again, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees over there, like he does in our Mishnah. So the Gemara discusses over there three reasons that different Amoraim give why a Sukkah is limited to 20 Amos according to the Chachamim. And one of them is the Omer Rabba. The pasuk says you have to sit in a sukkah in order that your future generations will know that I made the Jewish people live in sukkahs. So therefore, Rabba says, ad esrim ama adam yadeh shadar b'sukkah, up to 20 amas tall, a person knows that he's sitting in a sukkah. He's going to look up and notice the schach. Mamaylam esrim ama ein adam yadeh. Higher than 20 amas, a person doesn't know. Mishum de la sholta be'ena, because a person then doesn't pay attention. A sholta be'ena literally means that the eye doesn't control it, but you can physically see something higher than 20 amas. It just means like you don't pay close attention to it. So therefore, you're not going to realize that you're living in a sukkah. Therefore, alma gabes sukkah nami behekera pligi. So it comes out according to Rabba's reason that the same machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim also applies to a sukkah, where the Chachamim are saying you're not going to notice it above 20, and Rabbi Yehuda is saying you will. That seems to be the same machlokas over here where you have, the Chachamim are saying you're limited to 20 amos, and that's why we're saying an amal tera helps because it draws the eye, whereas Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the whole premise of 20 amos. So the question is, if Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchok agrees with Rabbah's reason, then if Flugi B'Tarti Lomali, then we would have to ask, according to Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchok, why does the machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim have to be presented in both cases? Let it just say it by one, let it just say it by Sukkah, and we'll know it by Eruv, or vice versa, by the Korah, or vice versa. Why do we need it in both? The answer is Tzricha. The answer is we do in fact need, even according to Rav Nachman Yitzchok, even if Rav Nachman Yitzchok agrees with Rabbah's reason about the maximum height of a sukkah, still Rav Nachman Yitzchok is going to say we need the machlokas in both places. The iyash in gabe sukkah, because we would say like this, if the machlokas was given only in connection with sukkah, we would say baha ka'amar Rabbi Yehuda. You know why Rabbi Yehuda is saying over there that it's okay even if the sukkah is higher than 20, given to the yeshiva avida, because after all, what do you do in a sukkah? You sit there. You're there for a long while. Shalta be'ena. So therefore, eventually you're going to look up and you're going to notice the schach and you're going to realize ki leman yedu derasechem. You're going to realize that you're sitting in a sukkah. Have a mavui, but a mavui after all. You're not sitting in the mavui. De lahilu chavid. Mostly you use the mavui to walk in and out. You go out of your house and you go out through your chotzer and out to the mavui and then out to the main street, the Rosh Hashanah Abim, or you come back in. You're not really staying in the mavui, generally speaking, for any length of time. Eima moidu lahu l'rabbanon. So maybe he would agree with the Rabbanon that if the koda is higher than 20 amos, you're not going to notice it. So therefore we need the machlokas in that case. The iyashmin and bahar. And on the other hand, if we were only told the machlokas by the mavui, bahar ka'amir abonon, maybe precisely for that reason that abonon say that by a mavui you can't go above 20 because you're only going to be walking by and you're not going to notice. Ava bahach ema moidulei l'Rabbi Yehuda. When it comes to the sukkah, maybe they would agree with Rabbi Yehuda. You're sitting there for a while, you're bound to notice the schach eventually. Tzricha, so therefore, even according to Rabbi Nachman Yitzchok, even if he agrees with Rabbah's reason about the height of a sukkah, we'd still say that he would say you need the machlokas in both places. So to tell you that they argue both when you're sitting in one place for a period of time, as well as when you're just passing by. In both cases, the Chachamim are going to say 20 amos is the maximum because beyond that, you're not going to notice it as much. And Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that no, we're not worried about that. You'll notice it even above 20 amos. Okay. Now, we've been mentioning throughout the sugya the concept of an amaltera. So now we have to ask my amaltera, what exactly is an amaltera? So what exactly is an amaltera? So the Rashi seems to be understanding that the question is on the amaltera that they had in the Beis Mikdash. How exactly was that amaltera designed? According to many other Rishonim, actually, the question is not so much on the Beis Mikdash, because right now this isn't really the place for it. The place to talk about that would be Masechta, okay, Midas doesn't have Gemara, but whatever. This wouldn't really be the place to talk about that much. The question rather is, and especially because the Gemara is going to mention a practical distinction about it in Halacha. So if it's just how it was in the Beis Mikdash, that doesn't really tell us anything practical la Halacha. It's a Hilchos LaMashiach. When Mashiach comes, the Beis Mikdash will be built. They'll build it properly. So a number of Rishonim explain that actually the question, my amaltera, is referring to the mavui. When we say that if the koda is higher than 20 amos, it's okay if it has an amaltera, what is the definition of an amaltera for that purpose? Yeah. So, Rav Chama Brei D'Rava Bar Avuah Amar, so Rav Chama Brei D'Rava Bar Avuah, the same Rav Chama who we said quoted the Braisa before saying that an amaltera is good. So he gives a definition, kini. It means nests. Which means Rashi describes you had carved out in the wood over there, you had things sticking out of the wood that looked like birds' nests. Maybe like a swirly design, although Rabbeinu Yohanneson learns it a little differently. He says, Rabbeinu Yohanneson and different other Rishonim learn a little differently, that it means more like there were carved out squares in it, so they resembled kind of the windows of a birdhouse. The point is that that's very eye-catching. You do have actually some Rishonim, actually, Rabbi Hanan over here talks about, that it means literally you have nests over there. You have birds, you make a space in there for birds to nest. And that way, literally, you have birds flying in and out of there all the time. And therefore, it's going to be very noticeable. It's going to catch the eye very easily. then I don't know if you need spikes on top. Then the whole point is you want birds to come. Okay. Yeah, okay. That's the Bismik. That's the Bismikdash. That's different. Yeah, we're talking about Chayu by the Mavu. Yeah. Okay. So that's one explanation. Ki osid of Dimi Omar. Yeah. Ki osid of Dimi Omar went. No, it would be not according to Rashi, because according to Rashi, we're talking over here about the Ulam and the Heichel. According to everybody else, we're talking. So that's the point. According to Rashi, we would have to say it just means carvings. We would just have to say Rashi says kigoin kineh, if it's similar to bird nests. Yeah. Okay. Ki osid of Dimi Omar, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Omar, he said Amri b'mar Rava, they say in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, Paski de Arza. It means beams of cedar. So Rashi understands that to mean beams that are very, very long and stuck into the wall. Because they're of cedar, and because they're, and more to the point, because they're very, very long, people notice them, and therefore there's a hecker. Now, what does Rashi mean by that? I mean, any coda has to span the full width of the mavui, otherwise what's holding it up? So one possibility is maybe Rashi means that you have actually at the ends of it, you have pieces that stick out over the street. Maybe that's what Rashi means. Anyway, the point is, again, so even longer than necessary. And the point is that therefore, because it's made out of cedar, and therefore it's very expensive wood, and therefore it's very noticeable. Different other Rishonim give different definitions of what Piske de Arza means. One, Rabbi Chananel over here brings that it means a wooden board, a cedar board, four tefachim wide. So again, the point is, cedar is a very expensive wood. So therefore, that draws attention. The fact that they went to the trouble of getting such a wide board and putting it up there. Another possibility we're showing him talk about, I think that Ashba talks about, is that Piske Auza means different little pieces of wood that are up there. Where again, the idea is you have together with the Koda, you have little other pieces of wood stuck up there, and therefore those draw attention. So that's another definition of a mantra. So the Gemara points out, Manda Amar Piske Arza, the second opinion of Dimi, who says that Amaltura is Piske Arza, Kol Sheken Kini, he would say all the more so if you have Kini, if you have these designs or decorations or window-like things or whatever, all the more so those are even more eye-catching. So therefore, that would for sure be fine. Manda Oma Kini, whereas Rav Dimi, who says that it means Kini, he would say, Rav Chama, who says Kini, Ava Paski de Arza Loi. He would say that Paski de Arza are not enough. They're not eye-catching enough to draw attention and therefore to allow the Mavri to be above 20. Yeah. So the question is, Manda Oma Paski Arza. Okay, but according to the opinion, Paski Arza, that it means cedar beams, my timer, after all, what would be the reason why that works? Mishum de nafish mashke. You're saying because it's very, very wide and it spans the full width of the mavri and sticks out beyond the ends of the mavri, and therefore that's eye-catching. How does that work? Well, sukkah de nafish mashke. What about a sukkah? You have the same kind of thing where a sukkah has a certain width to it, and the schach spans the full width of the sukkah. V'ka'amir rabbanon deloy, and still the rabbanon say you're limited to 20 amas. So why should it be different with an amaltra? The answer is Ella, no. Kibben to Kachoshiv Islaikola. The reason why it works is not just because it draw, not just because it's eye-catching because of its size. What it is because it's choshuv, because it's a very expensive kind of wood, therefore Islaikola, therefore it has a curl. Therefore people notice that they put up such an expensive kind of wood on above their mavri as a curl. As opposed to schach. Schach is made out of fairly cheap material, and therefore it doesn't have a coil like that, and therefore above 20 amos is no good. 7:45. So that's that. Who the halacha is like, by the way, is a little bit complicated. The Rashba writes over here that since it's a machlokas in a din de rabbanon, whether it's only kinim or also piske auza, so okay, in dinim de rabbanon we usually make all, therefore the halacha ought to be that piske auza are fine. On the other hand, the Rambam and a number of other Rishonim learn that no, only kini, only these carved decorations would work for that purpose. So the on the tour, so the Beis Yosef, the Beis Yosef writes that the Beis Yosef writes that kanim, that sticks, will work, and the Bach discusses over there that maybe the Beis Yosef had a wrong version of the tour over there. He thought that kanim, he thought the tour said kanim, meaning sticks, whereas really the tour said kinim, which means nests. or nest-like carvings or whatever. Anyway, in Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't seem to bring the matter of pieces of wood at all. He just mentions carvings and decorations. And then there's a note there in Shulchan Aruch, not sure from who, that says that maybe it would also work if there are carvings on the wall near the beam or something. The Alter Rebbe just brings that they have to have carvings or decorations or whatever on the beam itself. He doesn't bring the matter of Piskei Arza at all. I suppose, yeah. Okay. So that takes care of that, then. So now we understand what an Amaltra is. We have the two different opinions. And we say in the end that it does help to allow the height to be of the Koda to be above 20 amos. Okay, now let's talk about a different case. Miktsas Koda Besoich Estrim or Miktsas Koda Lamailam Estrim. What happens if part of the Koda is within 20 amos and part of it is above? So you have a thick Koda. So you have, let's say, the Koda is, let's say, an amma thick, and you have the bottom end of it is 19 and a half amos off the ground, and the top edge of it is 20 and a half amos off the ground. Does that work? Similarly, when it comes to a sukkah, you have the same question. Miktsas Schach Besoich Estrim or Miktsas Schach Lamailam Estrim. Suppose you have part of the schach within 20 amos and part of it above. So does this work or not? Amar Rabba, but mavoi kosher besukkah posel. So Rabba says, in the case of a mavoi, that works. In the case of a sukkah, it doesn't work. Now, why not? My shnub a mavoi de kosher. Now, why would it be fine with a mavoi? That, and we'd say it's a kosher. On the face of it, the reason is damrin and kloish. On the face of it, the reason must be because, after all, you don't have to have the full one, let's say in our scenario, you don't have to have the full one amma thickness. In our scenario, you don't have to have the full one amma thickness of the coda. The coda would be just fine with only a half amma thickness. And then if we were to imagine that we removed the top half of that coda, then the whole thing is within 20 ammas. If we take that view, dominant cloche, sukkah nami lema cloche. Nu, can't you say the same thing by a sukkah? You would say remove the schach that's above 20 amos, leave the schach that's below 20, and you also good. So why would we say by a mavui it's good and by schach it's not? The answer is because you can't buy sukkah. Because by the schach, you have a din that the schach has to have a certain minimum thickness. There has to be enough to have more sun, to have more shade than sun. If you remove the top layer of schach, you're going to be left with the bottom layer is not going to be thick enough to give tzilasa merubim and chamasa. Or not necessarily, anyway. Tosfos learns a little differently. It's not so much a matter of the thickness of the schach. In fact, Tosfos seems to learn that if the problem is that the bottom layer of schach, which is below 20, is not enough to be tzilasa merubim and chamasa, then actually the whole thing would be posel, because then in effect what you have is posel schach combining together with kosher schach, and that's no good. Because you'd have the schach above 20 is posel, you're trying to combine it with the schach below 20 to make it kosher. But that doesn't work because the schach above 20 is possible. So therefore, Tosfos learns a little differently. It's not so much that the schach below 20 is too thin to give shade by itself. It is, in fact, thick enough. The problem is that if you only had that layer of schach, it's going to blow away. So therefore, practically speaking, you won't have tzilasa merubim and chamasa. Different other Rishonim disagree with Tosfos on that and say that no, that if the problem with the schach above 20 is just that it's above 20, you can't call that posel a schach, because the schach in and of itself is kosher. The material is kosher, it's detached from the ground, it's not makabel truma, et cetera, et cetera. The problem is only that it's above 20, fine, we can say it combines with the schach below 20. There's even one of the achronim who wants to say that the Goyin Yaakov, if one of the reasons behind the limit of 20 amos with a sukkah is we're saying above 20 amos, you're not going to notice it. Fine, if you look up and you see the schach below 20 amos, with it you're also going to notice the schach above 20 amos. So it shouldn't be such a problem. But again, if we were to say that the schach above 20 is no good, then the problem is if you remove it, then you have chamasa merubim mitzilasa, because you don't have enough schach, or because the schach that you have, if you don't count the schach above 20, then you don't have enough schach below 20 to make tzilasa merubim chamasa. Or like Tosfos says, maybe physically you do, but it's going to blow away, and you're going to wind up with chamasa merubim mitzilasa. So therefore, so that would be why it would be possible by Sukkah. The problem with that is, nu, and when it comes to the mavoi also, who says that removing part of the thickness of it and leaving the part below 20 is going to be good enough? You might wind up then with a very thin coda, which is going to be blown away in the wind. Again, the whole reason we said earlier that the coda, generally speaking, has to be bria, has to be strong enough to hold a row of bricks. One idea of it is so it doesn't blow away. So if you had a coda, so let's say, okay, in our example where the coda is an amma thick, then fine. Even if you remove a half amma, it's not going to blow away. But let's say, for example, instead you have the coda, let's say was a tefach thick, and the bottom end of it, the bottom end of it was 19 amas and 5.5 tefachim above the ground, and the top end of it is 20 amas and a half tefach above the ground. If you remove that half tefach, you're going to have a very thin coda, and it's going to blow away in the wind. You have the same problem as you would with sukkah. So why are you saying it's good by a mavur, you're not good by a sukkah? Obviously, we have to say that the answer is, in the case of the coda, why would we say it's kosher? We would say we imagine this coda to be made out of metal, which is strong, and even if you take away half the thickness of it, you'll still have a piece that's strong enough to withstand the wind. Well, if you're going to go like that, and if you go the same way with the sukkah, you're going to say that regardless, you consider it because you still have the part below the part below 20 will combine with the part above 20, or that the part below 20, according to Tosfos, is in and of itself enough to be tzilasimur mechamasa, and we're going to ignore the fact that without further schach on top of it, it would blow away. So therefore, so it should be kosher both by sukkah and by mavoi if we're gonna go by that logic. So that explanation doesn't work. So Amar Ravim Parzikia. So Ravim Parzikia says here's a different answer. The difference is sukkah de la yochid he loy midkar. The difference is like this: a sukkah is often used only by one person. So if you have that the schach can be partially within 20 amos and partially above, what's going to happen? The schach that's below 20 amos might fall out, and then you're left with only the schach above 20 amos, and you're not going to realize it. And then it winds up that you're sitting in the sukkah where all of the schach is above 20 amos, which is possible. Therefore, we're going to say that it's possible to begin with. Mavi to the rabbim, as opposed to a mavi, is used by the rabbim. Madkari adodi, so they will remind each other. If the bottom edge of the coda rots away, for example, and now the entire coda is above 20 amas, somebody is bound to notice it very soon and tell the other ones, hey, we need to fix this so that at least part of the coda is within 20. So therefore, that's a reason to say that it would be no good by a sukkah because you might not notice, and okay by a mavi because they will notice. Okay, Ravina Omar. Ravina says a different answer. Sukkah da'araisa achmira barabanan. Because the din of sukkah is da'araisa, the limit of 20 amas is therefore also part of the details of that. So therefore, the chamam machmir, and saying that even if part of the schach is below 20 and part is above 20, it's not going to be good. Mavi da'rabanan la'achmira barabanan. As opposed to a mavi, the whole concept of a koda on the mavi is only da'rabanan. So therefore, the chamam are not going to be machmir as much. Okay. So now the Gemara says, okay, so all of this was one version of what Rabbah had said. Again, we started by saying that Rabbah had said that such a case with part above 20 and part below 20 would be kosher by a mavoi and possible by a sukkah. So now we're going to have a second version, Rab Adaba Masna Masni Lahoshmaita de Rabbah Ibcha. That Rab Adaba Masna learned what Rabbah says the other way around. But Omar Rabba, but Mavui possible with Sukkah Kshera. Exactly the other way around. When it comes to a Mavui, it would be possible if it's above 20 amas, and if part of it is below 20 and part of it is above 20, and by a Sukkah, such a thing would be kosher. So let's go through that again. Let's go through the same discussion. Maishna Sukkah Dikshera. Now, why would we say it's kosher by a Sukkah? Damin and Kloish, but Pashtus, the reason is because by the sukkah, we can say, take away the part of the schach above 20, and you're still left with enough schach below 20. Well, then, mavoi nami le makloish. Can't we say the same thing by mavoi? Take away the top part and just leave the bottom part. And the answer is, ikalshas, have a like kodan and tell us baruach. Then it'll be too light, and the wind will blow it away. So the question is, hochanami ikalshas le have a chamosa meruba mitzilosa. Nu, and by the sukkah, as we said before, if you take away the top layer of schach, you're not going to have enough schach to provide more sun, more shade than sun. Or as Tosfos says, you will have enough schach, but it'll blow away more easily. Obviously, what we're saying is, of necessity, we say that the schach is still considered silasim rubim mechamalza. Again, the fact that some of it is above 20 is not enough to passel it, because the fact is the schach below 20 does have silasim rubim mechamalza, according to Tosfos, or according to the other Rishonim. Because even if it doesn't, the schach above it can combine with it, given that the psul of that schach is only because of its location, not because of the material it's made out of. Well, hochanami, our kochach nasik eshvud nishamatchas. So the same thing over here, we should consider the koda that we have over here, which is partially above 20, to be as if it was a piece of metal, and therefore it's strong enough to stay there even if it's windy. So why are you saying in the second version that it's kosher by a sukkah and possible by a mavri? And the answer is Amar Rav ben Parzikya. So Rav ben Parzikya uses in the second version the same logic as he uses in the first one, but the other way around. Before, we said that a sukkah is used only by a yachid, so he might not realize if some of the schach falls out, whereas a mavri, people will remind each other. But now we can take it the other way around. Sukkah de la yachid, because since the sukkah is used only by a yachid, by an individual or by an individual family or whatever, Rami anafio mitger, he's going to know it's his responsibility, and he's going to need to keep an eye out and see and make sure that the schach underneath doesn't fall out, and that the schach is all above 20. So therefore, we can allow him to sit in such a sukkah, knowing that if that schach falls out, he's going to take steps to take care of it. As opposed to mavri de l'rabim hi, as opposed to the mavri is used by many people. So what happens is, so in the first version, we said, okay, that means they'll remind each other. But in the second version, we're saying each of them is going to pass the buck. Samchi adodi, each one is going to rely on the other. V'loi matkari, so they're not going to end up reminding each other at all. Each one is going to say the other guy will take care of it. The Amrinchi, as the famous expression goes, that people say, Kidra debe shutfi lechamimav lekurira. A pot of two partners, a pot of two or more partners, is neither hot nor cold. In other words, Marsha says, we don't mean that one of them wants it hot and the other one wants it cold. That doesn't fit with what we're saying here in the Gemara. What we mean is, even if both of them want it hot or both of them want it cold, one is likely to say, I don't need to bother with it. The other guy will take care of it. Meanwhile, the other guy says, the first guy will take care of it. And you wind up with it, you wind up neither here nor there. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, that's how it is. When you have somebody else to rely on, you may just come to rely on them and not bother at all. Okay. Ravina gives a different answer. So therefore, so that would be a logical reason to say that it's possible by a mavri, because people may not pay it, because people may pass the buck to each other. Okay, Ravina Amar Sukkah D'Oraisa Loi Bo Chizuk. Ravina says, now before Ravina had given the answer, Sukkah is D'Oraisa, Mavri is D'Rabbanan. But now we can use that logic the other way around. Sukkah D'Oraisa Loi Bo Chizuk, given that Sukkah is D'Oraisa, and the rule about 20 Amos is also, according to the Chachamim at least, D'Oraisa, then you don't need to strengthen that. You don't need to make a gzera that if the schach is partially higher than 20, you should need to be gozer, because it may end up being all higher than 20, because the person is going to realize to take care of that, as opposed to Mavri D'Rabbanan Bo Chizuk. The Mavri, the whole limit of 20 Amos, the whole concept of a Korah to begin with, is D'Rabbanan, therefore we need to strengthen, we need to fortify that din, by saying that if any part of it is above 20, then it's no good. Okay. So the one says, my habi Allah, what's the bottom line as far as the halacha? We had two different versions of what Rabbah said. One is that it's kosher by a mavri and posel by a sukkah. The other, that it's the other way around. So what's the bottom line halacha? So Rabbah Barav Ullah Amar Zev is a posel, Rabbah Amar Zev is a kosher. So Rabbah Barav Ullah says in both cases it'll be posel, and Rabbah says in both cases it'll be kosher. Which is the halacha? Because he says, halal sukkah tnan, halal mavri tnan. Because Rava says, when we say the limit of 20 amos, we don't mean that, all this time we've been assuming that the koda, or at least part of it, has to be within 20 amos. Rava is saying, no, your premise is wrong. All you need is there should be an empty space, of a maximum of 20 amos, empty space from... To 20 amos is kosher, above 20 is possible. You can have a maximum of 20 amos of empty space from the ground until the bottom of the korah, or until the bottom of the schach. So even if the entire korah or the entire schach is above 20, then it's good. As long as you don't have more than 20 amos of empty height. Amaleh popular rava tanya de messiah. So Rav Papa says to Rava, actually, we have a brisa that supports what you're saying, because the brisa says, Mavishu Gavaya Me'esrim Amma, Yosim Pischa Shalaychol, this is the brisa we brought before on Bezim and Bez, that if the Mavri is taller and then 20 amos, which is the height, which would make it more than the height of the heichel, more than the height of the door of the heichel. You might, then you have to reduce the height of the korah. And the heichel gufay chalol esrim. No, the heichel itself, the doorway. It's not that the top of the door, it's not that the lintel of the doorway was within 20 amos of the ground, and the whole height of the door with the lintel was 20. No, the actual height of the empty space of the doorway itself was 20 amos. So by the same logic with the marble, you can have the height of the empty space until the bottom of the korah can be 20 amos. Okay. A svade of Shimi Ba'ashi to the papa. However, if Shimi Ba'ashi says to the papa, I have a contradiction. So you're telling me that we're learning from the... No, it's not the famous Rav Ashi, and we can show that very simply. Rav Ashi belongs to the next generation. In fact, you have the Gemara in Kedushin actually says that that Rav Ashi was born on the day Rava passed away. Now, maybe that doesn't mean literally. Maybe it means we actually find that in a very few places in the Gemara, we find Rav Ashi talking with Rava, which obviously implies that he was born sometime before. Although you have different Gersois in some of those places. Maybe in some of those places, it's Rav Asi. There may have been an earlier Rav Ashi. Whatever. Rav Shimi Bar Ashi here is apparently a different Rav Ashi, because if he's asking Rav Papa, then obviously so right, it's the regular Rav Papa. So yeah, okay. So Rav Shimi Bar Ashi says to Rav Papa, what do you mean that the empty space from the ground until the bottom of the korah can be 20 amos? Braisa says, Kate said, Hoya Oisa, how do you do it with the korah? Maniach korah misfas esrim alamata. You have to place the korah at the edge of 20 or below, implying, in other words, the korah has to be within 20 amos. The answer is Ema ulamaila. Okay, change the word. Instead of ulamaila, instead of lamata, it's supposed to be lamaila. It can be above 20. What do you mean? What do you mean? You can have, sometimes a braisa could have a little bit of a mistake in it, but not to the extent where you're completely reversing. You meant to say lamaila and you said lamata. So it, on the face of it, it's saying lamata. What do you mean? The answer is no. What it means is it does mean you can place it lamaila. Ha kamashmala and lamata kamaila. The braisa, by using the word lamata, it's not a mistake, but what it means is lamata, when we're talking about the minimum height, it has the same dinim as kilamaila. Mala maila chalola estrim, just like when it comes to the maximum height of the korah, the maximum height is such that you have a space of 20 amos. The same thing, lamata, aflamata, chalola asora, the same way, the minimum height of the korah is 10 tfachim, because below 10 tfachim, among other things, as we're going to discuss later in the perek, below 10 tfachim, it can't be considered a mechitza. And if you say that the korah is mishum mechitza, then it can't be considered a mechitza. So therefore, what we mean is there also, if the korah is going to be placed low down, you have to have an empty space of at least 10 tfachim between the ground and the bottom of the korah. That's what the Braisa wants to tell us by using the word lamata. You shouldn't think that, given again that korah is mishum mechitza, then again, or according to one possibility, korah is mishum mechitza, you shouldn't think that maybe therefore it's good enough as long as the top of the korah is 10 tefachim off the ground. No, the bottom of the korah has to be at least 10 tefachim off the ground. And so therefore, the same thing applies to 20 amos. The bottom of the korah can be up to 20 amos off the ground. We don't care where the top of the korah is. Okay, so now we've been discussing the question of amos. Now we have to get into a general discussion. What size amos are we talking about? Now you have in Shas, there are two kinds. Okay, so there are two kinds of amos in Shas. Actually, we're going to see as we go through, there are more than two kinds, but there are two basic kinds. The two basic kinds are an amma of 5 tfachim and an amma of 6 tfachim. So in the Beis Hamikdash itself, the buildings, the structures of the Beis Hamikdash all use 6 tefach amos, with a couple of exceptions in the case of the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach HaChitzon, the Gemara tells us in Zvachim, there were a couple of components of it that had 5 tefach amos. The Kalim of the Beis Hamikdash is actually a machlokas, Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Is it that they were also of 6 tvachim, according to Rav Meir, or according to Rav Yehuda, they were 5 tvachim? But here, when we're talking about sukkah and mavi and so forth, which kind are we talking about? So, Amar Abaye Mishmed Rav Nachman, Amas sukkah, Amas mavi, the Amas we're talking about in connection with a sukkah, as far as the 20 Amas, and the amma of and the amos of a mavri, the 20 amos maximum and the 10 amos maximum that we're talking about, those are ba'amma bas chamisha. Those are amos of five. Those are amos of five tefachim. Well, yeah, that's true. However, that's true. And Tosfos does mention that point that if we're learning from the Heichel. However, well, Tosfos actually mentions it in connection with the previous sugya, but still, okay. That Abaya would say that we're using it only as a simon. We're using the Heichel as a simon to remind us of the concept of 20 amos. But in fact, those amos would have been different. They would have been six tefach amos over there, whereas here they're five tefach amos. Okay. On the other hand, kilayim ba'amabas shisha. On the other hand, amos in connection with kilayim are ones of six tefachim. So let's go through and see amos mavri ba'amabas chamisha l'may hilchsa. When we say that the ones in connection with a mavri are smaller amos of five tefachim, and that comes out as a chumrah, l'may hilchsa, relevant to what halachas are we talking about? Evidently, number one, l'goivhoi, as far as the maximum height, therefore, is going to be 100 tefachim, 20 times 5, not 120, 20 times 6, and ulapirtsas mavri, also for the opening of a mavri. Now, the opening of a mavri doesn't, Rashi explains, doesn't just mean over here the front entrance to the mavri, which we said is maximum 10 amos. Rashi doesn't refer to that at all. And in fact, Rabbi Akiva Eger wonders why. Rather, Rashi says we're referring to a concept that we're going to talk about in a couple of days, Be'ezat Hashem, where you, if you have a breach in the wall on the side of the mavri, what's the largest breach that there could be before it's not considered a mavri anymore? A pirtza. So the Pirtzas Mavri, we say over there the maximum is 10 amos. So again, Abaya would be saying that those are amos of 5 tefachim. The problem is that if you're saying that in order to be machmir, now preposterous, why is Reb Nachman and why is Abaya in the name of Reb Nachman? Why is he saying sometimes that you use 5 and sometimes 6? Because in each case, we're being machmir. The problem is that here you have a kula when it comes to a mavri. Va'ika meshech mavri ba'ab amos to the kula. What about you have the minimum length of a mavri from front to back, where which is 4 amos, and if you say it's 4 amos of 5 tefachim each, then it comes out lakula. So how can you say as a blanket statement that all amos in connection with a mavri are 5 tefachim in order to be machmir? There it comes out, your mekel. Meaning, in other words, what we say is that when we say the minimum length of a mavri, meaning where we say the minimum length where a lechi or a koda is enough to be machmir. If it's shorter than that, then we say it's not considered a mavri, it's considered a chotzer, and therefore you would need a pas dalet. Then you would need a tzuras pesach, or you would need a pas dalet, a board, which is at least 4 tefachim wide at one end. A lechi or a koda wouldn't be enough. The answer is because Abaya holds Commander Omar Ba'abba Tfachim. Because Abaya holds, according to the opinion, which we're going to have in the Sugya on Daf Hey, that says the minimum length of a Mavri is not 4 Amos, but 4 Tfachim. So there's no Amos in that connection. So therefore, we can still say that an Amma is 5 Tfachim. The Iboyasema, Ba'arba Amos, or you could say maybe even Abaya agrees with the opinion that the minimum is 4 is 4 Amos. And in fact, Tosfos says Abaya himself does say that later. The roiv amos comma. Okay, when he says that the amos by a mavri are 5 tefachim, he means most of the amos. Not to say that there wouldn't be exceptions. The exception would be the length of. So whichever way we're going to be more machmir. So when it comes to the maximum height and width, when it comes to the maximum height and when it comes to the maximum width of a pirtza, we're going to use the smaller amos. When it comes to the minimum length, we're going to use the larger amos. Okay. What about that we said amas sukkah ba'ama bas chamisha? We said the amos of a sukkah also use the ama of 5 tefachim. Again, l'may hilchsa. Regarding what halachas are we talking about? Evidently, l'goivha. As far as the maximum height, that again, the maximum height would be not 120 tefachim, but 100 tefachim. Ul doifin akuma, and also as far as doifin akuma, which the Gemara tells us in sukkah, that the Mishnah and the Gemara tell us in sukkah, that if you have, by the side of your sukkah, if you have posel eschach running along one side, or even all the sides of the sukkah, as long as it's less than 4 amos wide, then the sukkah is still kosher, because we have a lochel meshmesina dofen akuma. It's as if the wall is bent over at the top, and therefore you have, it's still considered a wall of the sukkah. So again, we would say that we're machmir, and we say that those are amos of 5 tefachim. So the maximum width of that posel eschach would be 20 tefachim, would be 20 tefachim, not 24. But again, we have a case where a smaller where a smaller amma is going to result in a kula. What about the width and width, the floor area of a sukkah, which has to be four amas? And there, if we say it's four amas or five tefachim, then it comes out we're mekel. The Tanya, we learn in a braisa. Rebbe says, I say kol sukkah she'en b'dalad amas al dalad amas p'sula, that any sukkah that's less than 4x4 amas is possible. So if you say those are amas of five tefachim, then you're being mekel. The answer is Kirabanan. The answer is Rab Nachman and Abaya are talking according to the Rabbanan, which is the halacha is like them. The Amri Afilo Ein Machzek is Al Roish Shavurubu B'Shochanei. They say that the sukkah is good enough, even if it only holds the person's head, the majority of his body, and the table, which is defined as 7x7 tefachim. So in that case, again, there are no amos being mentioned in that connection that we should talk about the size of an amos. The Barisema, and again, another possibility, La'olam Rebbe. Again, maybe Rab Nachman and Abaya are talking even according to Rebbe. But Rav Amos Kama, again, we could say we mean most of the Amos in connection with the Sukkah are five Tefach Amos. Okay. What about, we said, Abaya had said, that Amos Kilayim Ba'ama Bas Shisha, that when we say the Amos in connection with Kilayim are Amos of six Tefachim in order to be Machmir, L'may Hilchsa. So what would be, where would be the cases where that becomes relevant? As far as karachas akerem, an empty space in the middle of the vineyard, or mechoil akerem, which is an empty space between the edge of the vineyard and the wall. As far as Kilayim, the Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah in Kilayim, Karachas HaKerem, suppose you have an empty, Karachas means bald, so you have a bald patch, an empty area in the middle of the vineyard, where let's say you used to have grapevines there and then they were chopped down, or you never had grapevines there in the first place, whatever it is, Rashi says the Karachas can either be where it's surrounded on all four sides by grapevine, and then you have this patch in the middle, or it can be that the patch runs along the full width of the vineyard from one end to the other, and you only have rows of grapevines on the two sides of it. Anyway, how wide does it have to be in order for you to plant another species over there? Beshama says the minimum width to be able to plant there has to be 24 amas, and Basil says 16. What's the cheshbon? Rashi explains like this. The four amos on each side of that karachas that are closest to the grapevines, we ignore those because those are actually considered part of the vineyard in that how do you work a vineyard? Usually you have oxen that are pulling wagons and then with tools and whatever in order to be able to work the vineyard. That takes up a width of four amos. So subtract four amos on each side. You're left with, according to Bishamai, you have now 16 amos in the middle, and according to Bishamai, 16 amos in the middle, according to Bishamai, 8 according to Bishillo. So the vote is, therefore, Bishamai would say, you need to have, in effect, you need to have what can be considered a field on each side, a minimum of 8 amos width, so 16 amos total, in order for it not to be bottled to the vineyard. Otherwise, it's bottled, and therefore you're not allowed to plant there. Okay, if you plant there, it's not going to make Kilayim, but it would still be also at least Dirabanan. Whereas Basil says, as long as you have four amas in each part, four amas facing in this direction and four amas facing in that direction, that's good enough to be considered a field. Rashi brings another possibility is that Bishama would say, Avodas HaKerem, the area you need to work the vineyard, is not four amas, but 8. So therefore, you have 8 from each side and then 8 in the middle. Whereas Basil would say, you only need 4 from each side and then 8 in the middle. That's Karachas HaKerem. Or Mechoil HaKerem, then you have the space between the vineyard and the wall around it. So Beshama Shesh Esra'amas, so Vosalem Shteim Esra'amas. Beshama says the minimum width in order to be able to plant grain or vegetables or whatever there is 16 amas. Basilis says 12. Cheshbin is the same thing. You have 4 amas close to the vineyard that you need for Avodas HaKerem. 4 amas close to the wall that you need. You don't plant too close to the wall because you don't want to undermine it. So again, according to Beshama, you need 8 amas in the middle for it to be a Choshava area. According to Basilo, you only need 4. Or again, Beshama would say you need 8 amas for Avodas HaKerem. So therefore you need another 4 to have a Makom Choshava, but another 4 to not be too close to the wall. Whereas Basilo says you only need 4 for Avodas HaKerem. So Basilo would say 4, 4, and 4. Beshama would say 8, 4, and 4. And the Mishnah continues, Ezri Karachas HaKerem. What is Karachas HaKerem? Kerem Shechorav Emtzei, a vineyard where the middle of it is empty. Im ein sham sheshes ramas. So if, according to Basilo, you don't have 16 amas over there, lo yavi zera lo sham, then you're not allowed to bring any other kind of plants and plant them over there. Because again, you don't have a choshva enough area that it shouldn't be bottled to the vineyard. But if you have 16 amas or more of space, then all you need is the space on both sides close to the vines, 4 amas, enough to do the work of the vineyard, to bring in oxen and whatever over there, and then plow, and whatever. And then you're allowed to plant the rest with grain or vegetables or whatever. What is mechola kerem? Bein kerem legeder is between the vineyard and the wall. If there isn't, according to Basil, 12 amas, lo yavi zera l'sham, then you can't bring plants and plant. You can't bring seeds and plant them over there because you don't have a choshava enough area that's not bottled to the vineyard. If you have 12 amas, then you leave the 4 amas close to the vineyard and 4 amas, as we said, close to the wall, and then you can plant the rest. So you're going to say that those amas are amas of 6 tfachim each in order to be machmir. The problem with that is, what about, we have a din in connection with vineyards where you use amas, and if you use smaller amas, it comes out lakula. The Tanan, because we learn in another Mishnah in Kilayim, Kerem anatual pachas me'abamas, a vineyard where the vines are planted less than 4 amas apart. And again, that means they're too close together to bring in the oxen and whatever and be able to work them effectively. Reb Shimon oima ene kerem. Reb Shimon says that such a thing is not even considered a vineyard in halacha. And therefore, you would be allowed to plant within, all you need is 6 tfachim away from the vines, and then you can plant other things, as opposed to if it was a real vineyard, you'd have to do 4 amas away. The Chum say it is a vineyard. The Chum say what you do is you ignore the middle rows of vines, because anyway, given that they're planted so closely together, sooner or later you're going to uproot them in order to have enough room to be able to work your vines properly. So therefore, the Chachamim say that you ignore the ones, if you have, let's say, 3 rows, so you ignore the middle row and you have just the 2 outer rows, and fine, as long as they have the configuration of a kerem, then you're good. So therefore, again, according to Reb Shimon, So according to Reb Shimon, at least, and Tosfos points out, you could even have a scenario, according to the Chachamim, if, let's say, if you remove the middle ones, you won't have any vines lined up to make a kerem, you won't have shtayim connected shtayim, bachas yotzezanav, the configuration that's considered a vineyard in halacha, then, there, if we use the definition of 4 amas, of 5 tfachim each, you wind up lakula. The answer is, first of all, Kirabbanon, the Amri Havikerem. First of all, Rab Nachman could be going according to the Rabbanon, who say it is a vineyard regardless, so therefore there's no kula by using smaller tfachim. Again, we could say it goes according to Rab Shimon, Veroiv Amis Kama. Whereas we're talking about, again, most Amis in connection with Kilayim, but not to say that there wouldn't be exceptions. Okay. So that was all according to Abaya. So we'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem, and discuss that Rava has a different opinion, that all Amos in connection with these halachas, so 6 tefach Amos, but you do have a different definition of smaller versus larger Amos, which we'll discuss tomorrow, Bez Hashem. Shkayach, everyone.